So we go to the desert and bring in extra bags. Andy Baggerly, who covers the Giants for the Bay Area News Group. And that's two G's for extra bags. Andy, good morning.
Good morning, Marty. Happy opening day to you.
Yeah, I love it. I tell you, the old Rogers Hornsby quote, you know, you could see him looking out the window at the snow and just waiting for spring and for baseball to come back. Or Charlie Brown, that sunshine, the sun coming up, it looks like a baseball. It's just a perfect day because we know the story starts.
Well, it's the day when hope springs eternal for everyone. I mean, it was the favorite day for Cubs fans because it was the one day when they had hope. So now that they've actually won the World Series, maybe it's a little bit different. So maybe opening day is the day of hope for Indians fans now. They're the team on the clock.
Well, it's funny you say that. As a kid growing up, I was an Oriole fan, and they never did anything, you know, when I first became an Oriole fan. And if they won the first day, they were 1-0, I would cut out the standings out of the newspaper, and I'd paste it on a piece of paper. And it is the beginning of what you hope is going to be a good year, and especially looking at this ball club, Andy, you know, we were together for so much of spring training. A little bit of a surprise, the bullpen composition, because it does mean bullpen games are just, 98% of the games in baseball today, and the Giants are going to have an interesting way to get the ball to Melanson.
Well, first of all, Marty, I hope you didn't cut out those box scores from the 1988 Orioles, because you would have had a hard time that year. But you know, you're right. It was a little bit of a surprise that Okert did not make the team, because we know that Bruce Bochy, you know, was so matchup heavy last year. But you know what? Like he always says, if it doesn't work, fix it. I think maybe they're going to start out with a different tact. And I'll tell you what, Santiago Casilla isn't going to have to get out Jake Lamb today, but maybe Derek Law will. Maybe Hunter Pence will. Hunter Strickland will. You know, maybe Mark Melanson will, although that's insane regardless. And maybe Madison Bumgarner will. Maybe that's the key, is getting just a little more out of these starters. And they could be the first team or the second team in 10 years to get 200 innings from four different pitchers joining the 2012 Reds. And I wrote about that in my season advance yesterday. When you get, you know, three guys who throw 200 innings, it's 14 teams have done it in the last 10 years. Seven of them in first place teams. Nine of them have gone to the playoffs. 12 have had winning records. So that's the main ingredient. And we see that, you know, the Giants are not working backwards like a lot of other teams are. The highest percentage ever last year of innings pitched were by relievers at about 37%. But they didn't go out and add, besides getting Mark Melanson, fixing that obvious hole in the ninth. And you see them protecting their inventory by optioning Okert and keeping Neil Ramirez, which governs so many of these decisions when you set an opening day roster. So that tells you that, you know, maybe they aren't going to be as matchup focused as they were. And show, you know, give these guys a chance to show that they can get a lefty out. And you know, maybe they lose a game or two because of that early, or maybe they build some faith and they find something that works.
Well, they're going to have to do it over the course of the season. You need the bullpen. There's no, I don't care how many innings the starters go, they don't go nine. And you're going to need to get the ball to Melanson. So we'll have to see how that goes. Extra Bags is with us, Andy Baggerly. Andy, the other part is the core guys on offense. And I say the Posey, Crawford, Panic, Belt, those guys, they're reaching a stage of their careers. They could have great years. We still may not know what the ceiling is for all of them.
Well, that's true. You look around the league, and there are guys who should only get better because they're, yeah, you know, they're already stars, and they're only 24, 25. I think of a Christian Yelich right off the bat. I mean, a guy who could really be coming into his own. Now, the Giants are maybe a little past that stage with most of their guys. You know, Posey just turned 30. Crawford is turning 30. Belt is still only 28. Then you look at the outfield, and Span and Pence obviously are sort of probably on what would you consider the downslope of their careers. And then you look at the Dodgers, and they've got a Corey Seager who's just going to get better and better, and a lot of young talent. So I'm not suggesting that their window is closing. I think that this is still a core lineup that's got a couple more years before you know, you really have to start thinking about rebuilding it. But at the same time, all of a sudden, they have the third oldest lineup in the National League. And so this isn't a team that has maybe a huge, huge window. They're going to have to, in the future seasons, you know, really figure out how to rebuild this team. You know, Johnny Cueto can be a free agent after this year. So it's not like, you know, they're putting all their eggs in this basket and they're going to, you know, have to completely tear down this team after this season. But they are kind of getting to that stage where, you know what, there are a lot of guys in the Dodgers that are going to get better and better as they get older. and maybe you can't say the same for the Giants. So there should be a sense of urgency.
Well, yeah, for later years. But I think for this year, I like to see players who are 28, 29, 30. Because over the course of baseball history, you find players who have big years in those age brackets. So that's where I'm going with that. Maybe Belt will have that 1 year we've been waiting for. But there is age in the outfield. And over the winter, I think the game plan was really to rebuild the bench and rebuild it with a lot of right-handers. Because the Dodgers are their main competition. The Dodgers throw lefties at you all the time. And I think the bench looks better, and I think we will see more platooning. I think we're going to see more of an active bench, don't you?
Yeah, I think so. It matches up better because they've got, you know, a lot of lefties in the lineup, but now they've got a lot of right-handers on the bench. And you look at like what they had with Gregor Blanco, who was a fantastic fourth outfielder. He did a lot for this organization, but it wasn't a good match for them to have a left-handed hitting fourth outfielder last year because, you know, you'd want to sit down Denard Span and you'd have to put in Blanco against a lefty, and it just wasn't the best fit. Now they've got Gorkys Hernandez, who can be a right-handed version of that. And really, you look at the roster, and I think that teams normally end up keeping the guys that they think they're going to keep. I mean, spring trainings maybe get a guy or two on the team, but for the most part, I think teams are pretty well set on what they want to do and who they envision making their club. The one guy who forced himself on the team was Chris Marrero. You can't have the spring that he had, no matter who he hit his home runs off of, and deny that. That just sends a bad message to everybody that, you know, hey, you know, next spring when someone wants to sign here, you don't sign with the Giants because if you have a big spring, you still aren't going to make the team. I think, you know, you got to do what's right by him, and that's why he's here. But I think that they envision probably Justin Reggiano being that guy, and his shoulder's still coming around. Then they obviously switched gears and thought Michael Morse could be that guy, and then his hamstring went on him. So they'll see how he does with his rehab. Maybe in a couple weeks he's ready to come back, and maybe Marrero was a spring flash in the pan, and they'll bring Morse in. But either way, I think you're right. We're going to see a right-handed hitter in there for Jarrett Parker pretty much all the time against a lefty, and we're going to see Span sit down for against lefties too, and we'll see how much Joe Panik plays against lefties. That'll be interesting.
Yeah, because Aaron Hill is here for that. And I'll tell you another one, Nick Hundley. Andy, I know you were traveling yesterday. But this guy swings the bat. He swings the bat. I'm telling you, this Nick Hundley doesn't get cheated up there. I think we're going to see more of him in some fashion, and I don't think they're going to sit him down and worry about the second catcher coming in the game and losing the catcher position. But I think we're going to see something of Nick Hundley.
Well, that's where if you decide that you want to give Bell today against a lefty, you can put Posey at first base and put Hundley behind the plate. And now you've got a guy like Hundley who can hit the ball out of the ballpark against a lefty. And certainly Clayton Kershaw, I think they're going to do that and not have Belt start against Kershaw. That'll be one instance. But, yeah, that's just another position, another way they can go. If they don't want to give maybe Marrero a start at first base for Belt, they can always put Posey there, and boom, you've got Nick Hundley in the lineup.
Yeah, I like it. So I think they accomplished that, at least with the right-handers. All right. Last thought for you, and it's Hunter Pence. And look, we saw him every day for 45 days in spring training. He never missed a moment, ran hard, did everything that Hunter Pence does except hit the ball. Any concern about that? And, you know, I know the light switch flips on opening day, and guys who get walloped in spring training all of a sudden come out and throw eight innings on opening day. What about Hunter Pence? What do you expect out of him?
Yeah, you said exactly what I was going to say, Marty. I think the lights do come on for some guys. Now, you know, Diamondbacks have their own people to worry about. Zach Greinke was throwing 88, 89 most of the spring. You know, are the lights going to come on for him? So I think when you see a Pence face a Greinke, you sort of are going to get a little more of a true read on both these guys because now they're not just working on stuff. They're not just working on timing things. They're trying to compete against each other, and we'll see who's better, and we'll evaluate them accordingly. And I think that we can only find out just where Hunter Pence is after watching about 50 at-bats in the regular season. But, you know, I think, Marty, that his problem last year was that he expanded the zone so much, and we talked about this, I'm sure, he missed time. And it really bothered him to miss time because he cares so much. And you know how much he really invests personally in the fortunes of the team and in his teammates. And he wanted so badly to contribute after missing that time that, you know, he ended up working to his detriment. And so this is a guy who I think needs to get off to a hot start, or else it's going to get in his head that, hey, I'm not contributing. I really, really need to try harder. I think he could press more quickly than anybody else on this team. especially compounded with having a not very productive spring. So, you know, if you saw three or four hits from Hunter Pence today, that's probably about the best sign you could see other than the Giants shaking hands.
It's very true. Does he hit third today?
I think so. The lineup should be out shortly if it's not already. But that's what Bruce Bochy had indicated he was going to do. You know, and we'll see the lineup fluctuate quite a bit too. I think you could hit a panic down in the order. You could hit him second. You could hit Nunez all over the place. You know, if Span is off, maybe Nunez starts against a lefty. I think they got a lot of ways they can go with this lineup. So flexibility is a good thing.
All right. Prediction on, we all love to predict in baseball. Everybody does it. What do you predict in the West?
I'm sorry, Marty. Could you repeat that,
sure,
please? And just go to the park.
That's all right. We all love to predict in baseball. You know that. What do you predict in the West?
Well, you know, it's hard to say. I think that it's hard to pick against the Dodgers just because they've won four in a row. I think that if I had to place a wager on it, I would go ahead and pick the Dodgers. But I'll tell you what, I think it's more of a coin flip than a lot of people think.
Yeah. You
know, the Dodgers are really being picked by almost everyone. And, you know, I could see a lot of things happening that would really throw a wrench into their season. And the biggest one, obviously, is Clayton Kershaw being healthy or not being healthy. So, you know, they're the team you have to knock off. And the Giants look like they were going to do it at the All-Star break last year. And then, obviously, things fell apart for them. So I think you got to pick the Dodgers until the Giants prove that they can be the better team.
All right. Great report. 162 ahead, Andy. Our first step today. I always love having you on. I appreciate the time.
Thank you, Marty. Good talking baseball with you.
All right. Very good. That's Extra Bags on Twitter with two Gs. Always love it. And he, of course, covers the Giants for the Bay Area News Group.